And grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. As you have noticed from the bulletin by now, the sermon themes for this Lenten season are the Savior's hands, looking at various aspects in which our Lord comes to us, and we look and we place ourselves into his hands and find many different aspects about him that help us reflect upon both the Passion season but also upon our Christian life in many different ways. This evening, the theme announced is Hands That Invite. And the text for that theme is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 28th verse. It's a familiar text, one inviting us all. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So far our text. Fellow redeemed in Christ, to tell you the truth, when I looked at this text, I got more saw more connections with the social unrest that we have in Madison and around the world. And I saw a lot of these connections and realized that with those issues, we have a connection point with many of the people around us, so that we could use this text or others to invite them also to see the Savior who invites us to come to him. What are the connections? Well, we know of the large crowd gathered downtown in Madison. And many of those people feel a burden of the healthcare spending and of the government debt, and they long for rest and retirement. Those are some of the issues that they're gathering downtown about. They've put themselves under, you might say, the yoke of a labor union, asking the labor union to step in as a mediator between them and speak on their behalf in order to have these issues resolved, find that rest and retirement and the freedom from relief from the health care spending. And although the results of the unions are only a portion of a larger problem, this issue has caused a great burden on our state. And so the state is facing a large debt that needs to be taken care of. The big financial burden and debt of the state is looming over us, and we feel it on a regular day-to-day basis. But not just at the state level, there's also the national debt. I was watching a program about that the other day, and they were saying that could tip over at any point, and the interest rates would skyrocket, and we've had all kinds of problems if this large financial debt isn't taken care of. And so that's also a burden that we feel as part of our everyday life as we see the finances of the state and of the nation getting carried away. And so we have that huge debt placing that burden upon us. And people long for rest and relief and try to find some way to get relief from these various burdens. But of course, Jesus wasn't talking about financial burdens and national finances and labor unions in this text. He's talking more about our souls and the great burden that our souls carry around with us. Now, there's often solutions provided for a debt, how to resolve a debt, whether it's national or state. You reduce spending and you increase revenues. Well, if you think of the spiritual life that we all have, can we reduce our spending and increase the revenues in order to take care of our spiritual debt? Now, the spiritual debt I'm talking about is, of course, our sins. The fact that Adam and Eve threw off the yoke that was placed upon them in the Garden of Eden. There was just one little yoke upon them, a simple command, do not eat of that tree. And they chose to throw it off and go on their own way and became slaves of sin. And so that sin, of course, traveled on to us, as the Bible teaches us. And now we ourselves live day to day with a burden of sin and guilt. We also are disobedient against God. We threw off his yoke and want to go our own way, and don't want to be placed under his guidance and direction and pull for him like a yoke would allow us to do. And so we have a great debt burden for our souls. And the common way of taking care of it. That is to reduce the spending and increase the revenue. So maybe if we reduce the amount of sin in our life and increase the good works in our life, do you think that would balance out that debt and erase it from us? So often that's the common solution for us. If we reduce the sinning and get a lot of good works in our life, maybe we'll balance out that debt and erase it from us. That's a natural inclination. That's what the world offers. So many religions say, come under our yoke, we'll help you reduce that sinning and increase the good works in your life in order to get rid of that debt. Well, of course, the Bible teaches that's not the way to do it. That's not how you're going to get rid of that debt, because that debt is so huge that you can't do it on your own. You can't erase it by doing more and more good works, because those are things that God is already expecting of you. You can't do it by simply reducing the sinning in your life, because once you've sinned, you have that debt. And that debt is too much for any of us to carry on our own. And that's where we have a burden ourselves. We have that carrying around with us on a day-to-day basis. And the more you think about that, it becomes a burden. It becomes something that weighs you down as you think about that guilt and what is the solution? How do we get rid of that debt and that burden? That's where we hear this text where Jesus says, come, I've got a solution for you. Come, all you who labor and are heavy laden, you've been laboring to try to get rid of that debt, and I've got the solution. I can give you rest. I can relieve that debt and take it away from you. He does it with that welcoming hand, that inviting hand, come over here. And I've got a solution for you in my hands right now. As you look at my hands, you can see the wound prints of the cross, of course, by faith. As we look into Scripture, we see the picture of Christ on the cross and his hands on that cross, taking away that debt, taking that debt away from us, putting it on the cross so that they're carried away and taken away. And it's a complete payment. It's like someone came up to the United States, one of our debtor countries that we owe a lot of money to, and says, we'll erase all your debt to us and we'll pay everyone else's debt so that you're totally debt-free. That would be awesome for America. It's never going to happen. But it happened for us, where God said, you owe me a big, huge debt. I'm going to take it away. I'm going to put on Christ. He's going to pay for it. You are going to be totally debt-free. Totally no sins held against you. You don't have to carry that burden around with you at all. That's an amazing thought, to have that burden suddenly lifted. Christ saying, come, I'm going to take that away from you. Rest now. You don't have to labor anymore. You don't have to worry about trying to get rid of that debt and that burden anymore. I'm taking it away. So come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Think again of that debtor nation that we owe a lot of money to, and they come and pay off our debt. Now what do you think? Could our nation get by without running up another debt again? Would we treat that nation that paid off our debt a little bit nicer, maybe give it some trade benefits or something, wipe away all tariffs for them and increase the trade revenue? We'd try to do something to make up for it. For that matter, they probably expect something in return. Christ doesn't necessarily expect anything, but he gives you the opportunity to show your appreciation. And that's kind of what he's talking about when he says, take my yoke upon you and upon me and learn from me. He wants us to no longer run up a debt. And he gives us a way to do that in the sense of giving us a yoke. Now, do you remember what a yoke is? I'm not talking about an egg yoke. I'm talking about the animal yoke. The kind that you put on the oxen. It was a big, heavy weight on top with a couple of loops to hold the oxen in that frame there so that you could attach your farm implements to it, your plow, your wagon, whatever. And the oxen would pull together to pull that farm implement through the ground or across the ground, depending what it is. And that's the kind of yoke Jesus is talking about, because he lived in a very farming community where they still used yokes. And the yoke was a way of focusing the force of the animal, in this case, to do a lot of good work. And Christ, in a way, does that for us too. He says, I've freed you from that burden, and I'm giving you an opportunity to take upon you the work of the kingdom, to share that work work together and focus your energies all together in a concerted effort to invite others to come and have rest. You see, the life of a Christian isn't all hymns and relaxation. It would be nice if we could, everyone wants to retire early, just like the people downtown would like to have a nice, comfortable retirement. But for a Christian, God realizes that you can't just sit there, because then the devil will come along and start tempting you to do things that you shouldn't be doing. And so he gives us this work, he gives us a yoke to carry, and he gives us that the yoke is Christ placing, getting us to place ourselves under God's will and guidance, taking up our own cross to follow Christ. We learn from Christ not to seek our own way, to seek our own blessings, but rather to place ourselves under the will of our loving God into his hands for, well, I don't want to steal other sermons, but we talk about the hands that protect us and the hands that provide for us. Those are some of the other sermons coming up. But we place ourselves into God's hands in order to teach us how to live our life in such a way that we don't, again, create that huge debt in our life. He gives us the commandments to guide us and keep us out of trouble. They're not there in order to, again, create a great burden upon us. But for a Christian, they become a guide, a way to keep our lives focused so that we aren't pulled away by wanting to steal or worry about someone trying to kill us or something, or take away our goods, for example. So following God's will, learning from him a way to live our life where we are resting in his hands and not worrying about so much the problems of this life is part of that yoke that the Lord gives to us. And when we realize it's coming to us, placed upon us by a Lord who already showed his great love for us and the hands that have carried away our sin burden and are placing that yoke upon us to give us that direction and focus in our life, we realize it isn't such a burdensome yoke and weight upon our shoulders. The Apostle John said, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." When we realize that God's will directing our life isn't meant to keep us from enjoying life, it's meant to keep us from getting into trouble in life. It's meant to guide us through this life so that we can enjoy the ultimate rest that he's prepared for us. Christ's yoke is a yoke of love that is meant to bring blessing. You realize when the oxen had to pull those carts, and they had to, in the time of Jesus' time, they would be fastened to the yoke to thresh the grain, to beat the grain and get it all clean for use, for grinding into flour. And the Lord said, don't muzzle the ox when they're plowing the grain, when they're threshing the grain. Let them have a little bit of those blessings as they're going around sampling some of that grain. And in the same way, when the Lord puts us under the yoke and gives us the guidance, he's meaning it as a blessing, as a way to bring blessing into our life. As we see our lives blessed by the work of inviting others through sharing the word with them and showing them Christ as well. Now, if you think of going downtown and starting to talk to all the people gathered downtown and saying, come here, I want to tell you about Jesus, you kind of have a connection now, because you can see that you're inviting them to see Jesus to relieve a far greater burden than just the burden about worrying about health care or the national debt or their own retirement. You're offering a freedom from a debt of all their sins to give them an eternal rest, the eternal rest of all of heaven. In the same way, we can put all those problems that we see out in life in a different perspective. When we realize that God will take care of all those problems for us and will bring us through that life, guiding us with his hand, teaching us how to live through that life under his guidance, bringing us through this life to that eternal life and that eternal rest. When we don't have to worry, have you ever thought that why we have all those problems like health care and a government that's overspending and the need for labor unions and things like that? Those are all results of sin. We wouldn't need a government if we didn't have sin, because we'd all be able to direct ourselves and love one another without any problems. But we need the government there to kind of control those people who don't want to love each other. We won't have any health care issues, because there won't be any sickness, there won't be any crying, won't be any worries like that. We won't have to worry about a retirement because we're already retired and resting in heaven. All those problems are things that are going to be gone and taken away when we get to heaven. We won't have to worry about any of them. And Christ is giving to that when he says, come over here. I want to show you how I'm taking away those burdens, taking away those debts, taking away your sin debt, and giving to you rest, rest in heaven. When we try to carry the weight of our own sins, when we try to come up with our own solutions for handling that debt, whether it's a philosophical idea of trying to work our way out of it or some other way, we realize that we're not going to be able to do that. But God has done that for us. And he says, come, I'm taking away that burden for you. You don't need to labor for your own relief from that sin because I'm giving you forgiveness. Without Christ, life becomes an exhausting journey, an exhausting struggle trying to relieve ourselves of the conscience, of the guilt of our conscience that all of us have. But with Christ, he beckons to us and says, come, I'm giving you rest for your souls. His hands take the burden of guilt away from us, giving our conscience peace, giving us rest with God, not only in this life, but on into eternity. We often have to come to Jesus, listen to that beckoning hand, because we live a daily life in which we still are sinning. And he's still there beckoning to us, whether it's in the Word of God or in a church service or a fellow friend, a fellow Christian, bringing that message of forgiveness to us. We still need to hear that message. Come, come to Jesus. Don't stay away from him, but rather see in Jesus the Savior who's beckoning to you that for forgiveness day after day, and ultimately bringing you along with him, saying, come, not only for forgiveness, but come along with me to that heavenly home that I prepared for you. He doesn't ask us how often we've come. He just keeps saying, keep coming. I'm willing to give you that forgiveness and rejuvenate you and get you going again, placing you under my guidance to bring you through this life, keep you away from trouble. And so we listen to that. We listen to that by the grace of God as God comes to us with that invitation again and again and gives us relief from from the struggles of our sin and the worries of this life. And we see that rest prepared for us that we can rejoice in even today and look forward to for all eternity. May God so sustain us with that constant message where he says, come, and I will give you rest. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.